Reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This is God's word.
Our text this morning is basically verse 16 in the last part, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Congregation in Acts chapter 11 verse 26, it states that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now for those of us who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ and know about the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, it's a great blessing to be a Christian. And at basic level and simplest level, a Christian is a follower of Christ. But just because you follow someone doesn't say all that much about you. If someone were to ask you why you are a Christian, then you would need to explain what that means. I could even suggest a more pointed question. Why should you be called a Christian? Why should I call you a Christian? I mean, that's different than me asking whether you are a Christian or not. I mean, it's quite simple to say, if I were to ask you, are you a Christian? Yep, I'm a Christian. But if I were to ask you for reasons why you are a Christian, it's much more difficult to answer. At least much more challenging, I would suggest. In Acts 26, Paul gives a wonderful defense of the gospel before King Agrippa. And then King Agrippa states in verse 28, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" King Agrippa was right. Whether he realized or not, a Christian is someone who accepts and believes the good news about Jesus Christ. It took Paul and Barnabas a year of preaching and teaching in Antioch before they were called disciples. So that is at least one reason why you could be called a Christian, or perhaps why you shouldn't be called a Christian. A second reason, according to the Apostle Paul, a Christian is someone who shares in the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter 4 verse 12 following. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." In other words, a Christian is someone who believes, unshakably so, that what the scriptures say about the Lord Jesus Christ is true, even if it means suffering. Even if it means suffering. So that's the second reason why perhaps you could be called a Christian, or perhaps why you couldn't be called a Christian. A third reason that people may know you are a follower of Christ is that you love one another. I quoted it to the children, verse 34 and 35 of John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. So there are at least three reasons why I could call you a Christian. Now, in our culture in Australia, I think it's fair to say that Australia was recognised as a Christian country in the past. But today, many Australians and others who live in this land haven't got a clue what that actually means. They don't really believe in God the Father. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And many of them, with respect, have no idea what the Holy Spirit's role is at all. And even in the church, for some, Christianity is little more than a fashion statement or a label. Many have never darkened the inside of a church except perhaps for their baptism. And they still claim that they are Christians. And you need to ask, are they? We have Christians who are caught in sin and they are slow to repent. There are Christians who are very indifferent to missions. There are some who are indifferent about coming to worship, even once on a Sunday. And then there's the danger that I often am confronted with when people come to me. Especially when they want to get married or they're going to have a baby. They want to be Christians for a short time. A little bit of God talk in their wedding service. You know, it's always a bit of insurance, I guess. You know, or when they're expecting their first baby, all of a sudden these questions come to the fore. Do we want our baby baptized or don't we? And then there are people who I call minimalists. They always seem to ask, what is the bare minimum I need to believe to be a Christian? What's the bare minimum I need to do to be a Christian? What's the bare minimum I can get away with on the day of judgment? How committed do I need to be? In some ways, to be a Christian for them has become churchianity. These people go to church, be it ever so irregular, perhaps Good Friday or Christmas Day, and for the rest of the year you don't see them. You don't see them at all. And sadly, they cannot even define what it means to be a Christian. They cannot confess Jesus as their Saviour and that He is Lord of their lives, and it shows. Now, as a pastor, that concerns me, and I'm sure it concerns you. When people claim to be Christians, but continue to live a life of sin, without any acknowledgement that what they're doing is sinful, they don't live as people that have been saved from God's eternal wrath for their sin. I put it to you that if Jesus is your Saviour, who has died for you and who rose from the dead and who has saved you from the wrath of God, you would think that you would want to live lives that are pleasing in His sight. You would do everything you possibly could. I'm not saying you don't fail sometimes. We all fail. I fail. But on the whole, we try to do whatever we can to live lives that are pleasing to our Saviour. Now, perhaps unbelievers can be excused such ignorance and misuse the name Christian. But disobedient Christians shouldn't be allowed to call themselves Christians. And I suggest that leaders of the church need to be very careful who they call Christians. It's a continual struggle. We don't want to give people a false sense of security. No one should be called a Christian simply because they've been baptized, or they did their profession of faith, or they come to church on Good Friday and Christmas Day. I mean, that's nonsense. Nor should they be called a Christian just because their parents have been to church, or their grandparents, or somehow their name happens to be on the roll. That's not proof that you're a Christian. Let me briefly define what a Christian is according to Scripture. First and foremost, according to the Scriptures, you are called a Christian because you have true faith in Jesus Christ. True faith. Acts 11, 20-21. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. True faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is at the heart of being a Christian. And without that faith, or any evidence of that faith, no one should presume to be a Christian. A Christian is someone who believes that what Jesus claims about himself in the Scriptures is true. A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he took on our flesh when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. A Christian is someone who wholeheartedly believes that Jesus died on the cross for them, for their sin, that he was raised on the third day for their justification. A Christian is someone who believes that he has ascended into heaven and that he sits and rules now at God's right hand. A Christian is someone who accepts Jesus as the Christ and strives to live in obedience to him, no matter what the cost. In other words, a Christian is someone who belongs to Jesus and behaves as Jesus did. He doesn't stumble or fall over Jesus when his name is mentioned. A Christian is someone who knows they are sinners and who gladly comes to the Lord Jesus for cleansing again and again. They know that they need the blood of Christ to cleanse them. A Christian is someone that knows that everything we say and do and even think as Christian reflects on the glory of our Saviour Lord. Everything. Every text, every tweet, every blog, every Facebook post, every email can either reflect negatively or positively on the Lord if you claim to be a Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to claim you are a Christian, then make sure you behave like one and live like one. Alexander the Great had to deal with soldiers who went AWOL, absent without official leave. And he was ruthless. And if someone was brought to him who had gone AWOL without a good excuse, they were just shot, done away with. And on one occasion, a young soldier, just 16 years old, was brought to him for going AWOL. And his mother was there. And she appealed to Alexander the Great, "Please be merciful." Alexander the Great asked this young boy, who was trembling in fear, "What is your name?" And the young boy replied, Alexander. And Alexander the Great got up and grabbed him by the collar and said, then behave like an Alexander. That's what we have to do as Christians. If Jesus is our Lord and King and our Savior, then behave as Christians, whatever the cost. We would hate to think that the world is laughing at us because of our confession that we are Christians and we're behaving like the world does. As members of Christ, as part of His body, there should be a perfect match between Christ and us. Oh, I know it's a tall order. Yes, it's a tall order. But it's what it means to be a Christian. Scripture teaches that you are called a Christian because through faith we share in Christ's anointing. We are called to be prophets and priests and kings. Now, I spoke about that briefly last week, so I don't want to go on too long about that. A Christian is someone who, by faith, shares in Christ's anointing, is therefore someone who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We aren't merely pastors or farmers or computer technicians or nurses or lawyers or teachers or businessmen or whatever. We are Christians. That's what we are. First. There was a day when the Lord has called us to be one of His own. There was a day when we were born again. There was a day when we were called out of darkness into the marvelous light of His Son. We are Christians. And from that moment we've been given a task, a mission. And from that task we never retire until we are promoted to glory. We don't have to do it in our own strength. Thankfully not. The Holy Spirit helps us to confess the Lord's name, helps us to know and proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the only Saviour. He enables me to stand before God and His people and publicly acknowledge my faith in Him, unashamedly. He enables us to be witnesses in this world. We know God's will. We've been anointed to also speak out against evil, injustice, moral corruption. We are to function as our priestly role. Offering ourselves as thankful sacrifices. There may even be occasions when you're going to be ridiculed for being a Christian. So what? So what? Who else gave His life for you? Perhaps we may even face death. And if that should happen, we know it is the doorway to eternity, and there Jesus will be to greet us. Welcome home. This kind of godly living wins our neighbours over to Christ. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. That's what we are called to do in this world. Is it easy? No, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. But we need to be fair dinkum Christians and not pretend Christians. When I was teaching catechism last week, we talked about our kingly office. See, we are in the most privileged position. One day we will reign with Christ. In the meantime, we involve ourselves in Christ's work of gathering the church and expanding the kingdom. We fight against the devil, the world, and our own flesh of sin. Our weapons of offense, God's word, prayer, Bible studies, fellowship of the saints. Being appointed to a kingly office means taking every thought and making it obedient to Christ. When someone asks you, brothers and sisters, why should I call you a Christian? Can you give a good answer? Can you give a good answer? When we were doing this at catechism the other night, not to embarrass any of the children, most of them said, because I believe, or I have faith in Christ, or all good answers, all good answers. We wouldn't want to poo-pah that. But you know what? It's more about what Christ has done for you. That's where it comes down to. That God in his love elected you to be one of his own even before the world was built. He did it. The Holy Spirit came into your heart and quickened you to life. He did it. So it's not so much what I do, but it's what Christ has done for us. So are you a Christian? Why should I call you a Christian? Because Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And now because he has done that, I am his. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. May we be unashamedly in saying what a blessing it is to be a Christian. Amen. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you in your great love and mercy have called us into a relationship through your Son. That we are your children. We are now clothed in your Son's righteousness forever. Father, what a blessing it is that we may know that Jesus died for us, that he paid for our sin through his death, that he rose victoriously for our justification. And that you now see us as people who have not sinned, who are holy in your sight, safe now and always. What a blessing. So, Father, we pray that if someone asks us, why should we call you a Christian, may we be able to give a good reason for the hope that we have, with gentleness and respect. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, as you can see, we're going to have the Lord's Supper in a minute. You can go to the band, that's fine. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a moment. And I always ask, why should we celebrate the Lord's Supper and who should come? And my answer has always been, only those who are Christians, right? Who know that Christ died for them, for their sins, who desire to live a godly life and who desire to flee from sin. Well, don't say you're a Christian and you've got no idea about what it means that Jesus died for you or that he rose from the dead or you have no intention to flee from your sin. Then don't come to the table. The table is for those who are fair dinkum Christians who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. And if you can say yes to that, then welcome. Come to the table and celebrate this sacrament with us. While we are being waited, while this is being prepared, we're going to sing His Mercy Is More.